Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to I'd Sooner Forget This, a podcast where guests share with you something from their past, like when, for an A-level sociology project in 2007, I wrote a report about my own texts. Here is the intro. I believe I do have an idiolect in my style of texting. I often try to put as much information into as few words as possible in texting, normally to save time and credit. I'm Giles Smith, and with me today is writer, comedian, and filmmaker Ellen Waddell.
Hello!
Hi, Ellen. What have you brought with you today?
So I brought with me some cartoons and drawings I did when I was 19 at university, and I thought I was going to grow up to be a famous cartoonist, comedy cartoonist, and I put them on a MySpace. It was myspace.com/cartoonlady. Terrible.
So
bad.
So let's look at the first comic from Cartoon Lady.
Yeah. Okay. So at the time I was reading a lot of, Yoen Vasquez, who wrote like comics. He wrote Invader Zim, which was a cartoon.
My favorite cartoon of all time.
Yeah. He's brilliant. He did a series called like Squee as well. Yeah. He was just really, really funny. He's really dark humor. And I think I thought, I read it and I was basically like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to like make weird cartoons. So the first one I did, it's like one page. It's drawn very, very, it's like scratchy pen. I think I probably drew it in pencil and then went over it. So there's a teacher and he's looking at his class and he says, today class, we're doing self-portraits. And the class are all looking at him. They're not saying anything. And the next panel, he's like, that's it. Grab a mirror, stare at yourself and draw. Now draw your soul, the very core of your soul. So bad. And then he says, I think it's a hymn, I'm not too sure. Okay, let's see the very core of your soul, the very essence of your being, the nature of your subconsciousness. Tracy, you go first. And then Tracy holds up a picture silently, and there's a drawing of a monkey on it, and underneath it says, a bald monkey who eats babies. There's some reactions between the teacher and Tracy. You know, he looks shocked. She looks happy with herself. And then he says, and he's sweating and she's sort of grinning. And there's just a final panel of him going, no, no, no. And another person in the class says, I drew a bald monkey too. I don't know what it is other than really weird. So I was a very strange person at university. I spent a lot of time on my own. I think this is very symptomatic of that. Oh dear. Yeah.
So were you studying anything to do with art?
I actually wanted to be an artist when I was younger. I did an art foundation course, but then I realized that it was like a really, really stupid thing to go into. There wasn't any money in it. So I did a journalism degree instead. Yeah. Good idea. So I did like a whole year doing art and I wasn't too sure what I wanted to specialize in. But I think during that year during art, I basically fell out of love with it because it sort of felt like, you know how like you see really, really bad abstract art, or you don't know if it's bad or anything, but you do have those kind of like, is this art moments? And then when you know the people who drew it and you know why they drew it and you know there's nothing behind it, it sort of ruins the veneer of it a little bit. So there's a lot of people in my art foundation course who were very who were fun, but massive stoners. The teacher was like, yeah, abstract art's great. It's great. You should do more abstract art. And they absolutely loved their stuff. And I was like, but I know that guy. I know that guy who did it. There's like nothing behind it. There's like a really shallow piece of work. And they're like, oh, it's so deep. It's amazing. And I was like, no, this is bullshit. Fuck art. Daily Mail was right, guys. So I just kind of, I don't know. I was like, I don't think I'm good enough either. And you can't explain anything you've done in art as well. Like, you have to just do something and hope people can interpret it on their own. I thought, So I decided to do writing instead. And this is a combination of both those skills.
So this was after you had realised that you kind of didn't want to do art.
Yeah, I wanted to do writing, but I was really bad at journalism as well. So I think this was just like, at university, I remember making this in my room. In second year of university, just drawing it, being like, well, I'm not going to be a journalist. I'm not going to be an artist. Maybe this could be a career for me. I don't know. Yeah.
Did you wanted to try and make this into your job?
Yeah. Well, I think what I thought would happen was I put it on MySpace. Someone would see it and be like, wow, she's so talented. I'm going to give her loads of money and she can write comics. I think I didn't really realize how anything in the industry worked at all. So I think, like, you know, when you're younger and you're kind of just like, oh, yeah, like I'm going to get plucked from obscurity. And I guess I thought eventually something, they got to notice me with my talent. Someone's got to see it. If I get enough likes on MySpace. Did they have likes on MySpace? What did they have?
I'm trying to remember. I think you'd get friends. I don't think they were called followers.
Yeah, that's it. You'd sort of have... I don't know. Yeah, people could. I know people could comment on pictures, and I think maybe I thought like the right person would see it. I don't know, and then I'd be famous. It didn't work out.
Did you draw a lot of comics?
Yeah, I did. I did do a lot of drawing, though. I did like, but not stuff that was particularly funny. I really did enjoy drawing. I just used to draw my hand a lot because it was in front of me, and like people, I used to draw people a lot and stuff and cartoons and things. I found it really relaxing. Like drawing is a really relaxing thing to do. So I think that was the main motivation for it as well. It was like just a really nice thing to do and sort of like a de-stressor. Because at university, like what your main hobbies is drinking and having regrettable sex. So I was like, I need a third hobby. So I think drawing was definitely that.
And did you ever like draw with anyone else?
No, I did. Oh, I did draw a tattoo on someone once. Like they wanted to see what I did it with eyeliner. They wanted to see what a tattoo would look like. And they wanted like a Phil Collins cover art thing on their leg. It was like an angel smashing something or like a little Cupid smashing something. And they wanted to see what that would look like on their leg. So I drew that and then took a photo and then they got it tattooed on their leg. So,
wow.
Yeah. I felt quite pleased with that. And I've drawn a tattoo. I did a drawing before and I've taken it into a tattoo shop and had it put on my back as well. So I've got a drawing I've done on my back, which is quite arrogant. You're not good enough, tattoo person. Draw this. So I guess maybe I've expressed myself artistically somewhere along the line. I think that's it. Yeah.
At the time, how did you feel about this drawing?
I thought it was amazing and I was hilarious. I remember, because I put them all up and I remember someone... I used to be in a band and one of my bandmates was like, oh, they're really funny. They're really good. And I was like, thank you. And then another guy I knew was like, yeah, I don't get them. And I remember being like, what don't you get about them? And being really angry at him that he didn't. I was like, it's fine. He just doesn't get my humor. So I was getting mixed messages. It was very confusing. I think I thought it was really funny, but it might not have been. And also as well, being a bit of a comic book nerd at like 19 and being, I was quite chubby at the time as well. I was quite gothy. I like really like dyed black hair, loads of piercing, stuff like that. It's really difficult to meet people who are like-minded, even if you're at university. So I think for me, it was almost like, it was probably not like a cry for help, but it was sort of that thing where you go, oh, I hope someone sees this and they laugh at it. And then I like meet people who like comic books as well and that kind of thing. Cause it's quite difficult, I think, if you're at university. Like there's lots of sororities you can join and stuff like that. But if you're into very particular weird things, it's difficult to meet as many people who like those very specific weird things. So I think like drawing cartoons, weird cartoons for me was just like, an expression of who I am, but maybe also picking up MySpace was like, oh, maybe I'll meet someone. Maybe a boy. I don't know.
And did you meet anyone?
No.
Oh.
No, I did have a lot of friends. Loads of friends. I was so popular. No, I did have, university's big. Like, I did have friends, but I don't think I had anyone who liked Invader Zim and I was like really into Star Trek as well. And you know, that kind of stuff, it's like the older you get now, that's cool. It's okay to like that stuff because like it's been co-opted by like movie franchises and things like that. And people are realizing how much money they can make out of it.
Did you upload a load of this all in one go?
I can't remember, probably. Probably over, it could have been over a series a couple of weeks. The response was so great. I just had to.
You didn't like set yourself up like a schedule?
No, I think I remember sticking them on my wall afterwards. But I think because I don't know, like you know as well when you kind of, if something doesn't happen straight away, and like you put like minimal effort into doing something, achieving your dream. And when you're younger, you're kind of like, well, I'm not famous and no one's given me a cartoon book deal. So a comic book deal. So I guess I'm just going to stop forever. So I think that's what happened. I think I peaked.
So let's have a look at another one.
Okay, so this one, it doesn't make any sense at all. And I don't know what it is. But it's basically a guy and he's kneeling down and he's talking to some kind of cat. And he's got some machine guns and there's an arrow pointing to his machine guns, which says big fuck off machine guns. And he's giving a key to this cat and he's saying, the world is now safe from evil mutated badger lesbians for another day. Thanks to you, Mr. Fluffykins. Have a key to the universe. and the cat, Mr. Fluffykins, he's holding like a stick, but there's an arrow pointing to it, which says magical badger luring flute. And then there's a guy with no legs lying down near him who's saying badgers ate my kneecaps in a pool of blood. It just doesn't make any sense at all. But I actually have a lot of love for it because it's just weird sense of humor, which I don't know, which like doesn't, it kind of tracks like the stories there. There's a story in it. You can follow it. There's obviously this cat, Mr. Fluffykins. He saved the universe from evil mutated badger lesbians, sure. And now he's been given a key to the city. I don't know where that would have come from. Like, why?
Yeah, I mean, so I really love like things like Invader Zim.
Yeah.
Where there is that kind of surrealness where, you know, a hot dog will suddenly appear for no reason.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see that influence. Things just have sudden jumps in logic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sort of left field. And also, I think a lot of... I was reading, like, Jamie Smart, his cartoonist, who wrote this comic book called Bear, which is brilliant. It has all this... And I think, like, Joan Vasquez does it as well. It's just, like, weird stuff in the background. So I was trying to do that, I think, as much as possible. Hence this guy lying on the floor going, badgers ate my kneecaps. It's just that weird thing where you have... like right in the corner someone saying something or just like breaking the fourth wall in some weird way, which I absolutely loved, which I couldn't do. And I think a lot of it was trying to emulate that stuff, but it's basically just trying to copy what someone else is doing because you know you relate to something so much, you just like, and I don't know, I think you're quite, I was quite obsessive when I was younger as well, so I think it's a lot to do with that as well, just like you know when you like something and it's like you love it. And I think I just went through different phases where I was like, well, this is all I think about and do now. And then I go through another like weird geeky phase where I'm like, well, now I'm just going to only watch this TV series or that kind of thing. So I think I was just like, oh, I just love like everything Joan Vasquez does now. And I'm just going to like Google him and look up everything and buy everything he's ever done. And I think it's the same with Jamie Smart as well. And there was, oh, what else was there? It was like Gloom Cookie was another one. I can't remember who wrote that. There was just a series of quite like gothy, weird sort of comic books around at the time. And I think I just got really obsessive about them. And then I probably would find something new to be obsessive about and just sort of like look it up and then, you know, try and learn everything about it. And it was always just like weird, like nerdy stuff.
And did you kind of dump the thing before it?
No, I just wouldn't be like such an expert on it, I think. So I would, like, I still read comic books now, but I don't try and draw them. And as well, I think it's that thing, isn't it? When you're younger and you're like, I think I'm funny. I don't know. How can I express that? Which I guess is why I do like stand up and stuff now, is just, you never think, oh, I guess I could do stand-up comedy, because I would never have thought that at the time, because that would just be such an awful, terrifying idea. So I think for me, this was just like, how can I try and express my humor without anyone seeing me? Or what's the safest way to express it? Which isn't true, actually, because this is not a safe way to express it. And it luckily, people were less trolly then, because I imagine if I did it now, or even like the internet of now, and I was still 18, it'd probably be really hard to like put stuff out there without people kind of giving you like more of a negative response.
Do you think you would have been more apprehensive to put it up?
Yeah, because if people were like, this is rubbish, and I didn't know them, I'd be like, oh no, and it would break me. Because you do, like, if anyone, it's like anonymous comments on the internet, they still, I haven't had that many, I don't know why I would, but I remember once we did a music video, the band I used to be in, and someone wrote like, and I remember it's like a horrible thing where you remember all the insults, and someone wrote like, the girls in the band are hot, but the bassist is not. And I was like, oh, you know, like remembered it for ages afterwards.
Well,
just,
still now, that's pretty quick for you to remember.
I just store them. It's terrible. You just store all the negative stuff, whereas like all the compliment stuff, you just kind of, you try and hold on to them, but it's hard, I think, because your brain's just like, remember when that person on the internet 8 years ago told you you weren't attractive? Oh no.
It's as if your brain wants to sometimes just attack you.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm going to just self-sabotage myself now. Yeah, I think it's difficult. I think some people are really good at just like not thinking about either. But then I think if you do anything comedy-wise, it is a little bit like you can't accept validation in a normal way, perhaps. So I think that's like part of it as well.
I think it's also pretty much anything artistic, you know, comedy, drawings, music. People are going to feel differently to it, to what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, for whatever reasons, feel like they're entitled to an opinion. An opinion which you need to know about.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, that is true. It's always funny, is it, when people kind of come up to you, and I don't know if you've ever had this, and sort of say like, yeah, I didn't enjoy that. I made a short film which had like some quite explicit, not like explicit as in sexy explicit, but like some gross bits in it. Some really, really gross bits. There was like a woman in a bathroom and she'd, anyway, so it's just some gross bits. I'm not going to describe them. It's online though. You can watch it and see for yourself. So some people like watch and laugh and some people are like, oh no. And it was about like a female stand-up comedian. And a woman came up to you afterwards and she was like, that was very close to the bone. Why did you do it like that? Was that on purpose? And I was just like, I did it to annoy you. Like, I don't know. It was a really weird, I think it's fine if people don't like stuff you've done and they tell you. Sometimes it's quite funny because you're like, well, I guess you're not my audience.
Yeah.
But I've not enjoyed a bunch of stuff, but I wouldn't go up to someone and tell them. I tend to just go, eh.
Especially in like Britain, people would eat a terrible meal and pay for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not tell them.
Yeah.
Like in something where, you know, if you complain to a chef and said, I don't like this, could I have a new one? Then they'll bring it back out. Whereas like with any like more artistic stuff, you can't
reverse time. Yeah. What can I do? But it's that weird, it is that weird British thing, isn't it? Where like maybe it is better, to be honest. I don't know. Maybe it's that difference where you go, this is helping me. I can learn from this. I can improve. Like maybe with the chef thing, or maybe if you say something and someone's like, oh, that's like offensive to me. But then some stuff as well where you're like, this is just not for you, and that's fine. Like at least I'm having because if you're getting any kind of reaction from people, it means you're not 3-star, which is good, I think. But it is that weird thing. Like I bought a cookie the other day and I was really excited about this cookie because I'm quite careful about like what I eat. So when I'm going to have like a treat, I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to have? Oh, and then I get really stressed because I'm like, I don't know which cookie to have or anything. So I went to this vegan cafe near me and I was like, right, what do you recommend? The cookie or the brownie? And the guy was like, yeah, the cookie. And I was like, brilliant. Bought it, £1.50, walked outside, had a bite, and I was like, this is disgusting. This is the most disgusting thing I've ever... It was horrible. And it's that thing where part of you wants to go inside and go, you recommended this to me, and I'm very sad about it, unnecessarily sad about this. But I didn't, I just like walked off and then I threw it in the bin. But I wish part of me had gone back in and gone like, this is gross.
Yeah.
Like, this is actually a gross thing you've made. Why are you selling this? But I did. I just walked off. Yeah, threw it away. It was sad. But I don't know, is that better? Should I have said something? Daryl, what should I have done? Oh,
it's tough now, isn't it? Because especially, I feel like we're in a rabbit hole where we want to, like, because we're saying, like, don't say the bad things. But yeah, also, yeah. Maybe it would help if you did. Like, say, going back to this, if you pop that on to Twitter and someone said,
this is shit. This is the worst thing.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh.
It is.
Oh, it is. Maybe I should stop. Yeah. But then, again, it could just be that it's being shown to the wrong audience. Mm. You know, because, say, like, I don't look at that and think it's terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at it, I enjoy it, and I can see how it could be improved. But that's...
Yeah.
But what I mean is that in the way that if you pursued it, you would have got better at
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, even the best stand-ups were terrible when they first started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's still something good.
A nugget.
Yeah, but so there are sometimes when you see something and you'd be like, oh no, you should just stop.
You should just, like, yeah, yeah. maybe I think the thing is, say I put this on Twitter and I was like, I'm so excited, blah, 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 put it online. And then someone's like, this is the worst thing in the world. Like, this is awful and you're a ugly bitch or something. Trolls, right? You just click on their bio and you'd be like, well, that's not my audience. The worst thing that could happen is if you put it on Twitter and I was like, oh my God, okay, like it was influenced by... And then, like, added some of the cartoonists and stuff. And they one of them replied and was like, this is awful. That would be the worst thing that could happen. I don't know why I've created that in my head.
You would think that their opinion's way more credible.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But I wouldn't ever do that. I think if I do anything, like, or if I enjoy something, I don't tend to, like, at famous people. I will occasionally. And then they'll like it. And you'll be like, oh my God. Can't wait to tell everyone about that. But most of the time I avoid it because it's weird.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So how do you feel about that one?
I don't know. I quite like it. I think what I feel is, like, younger me is quite similar to me now, which is good. But me now would never, ever put anything like that online. I think younger me was probably a little bit more fearless in a weird kind of way. Or maybe it's just from, like, crafting stuff. You know when something is ready for people to see it. Yeah, I think I'm kind of like, oh, Ellen, it's a bit weird you thought this was as funny as you thought it was. But at the same time, I don't think I've changed that much as well.
How many years has it been since you drew it?
13. Yeah, 13 years.
So you think you're the same person?
I just think my sense of humour is, like, I can recognise my weird sense of humour in there. It's that thing where you go, oh, yeah, yeah, like, I haven't changed. Like, I have changed just in terms of kind of, like, knowing when something is good enough for people to see or hear it, I think. But I also recognise, like, that is my brain and that's my brain's, like, definite way of thinking stuff is funny. And I think I would have been really ashamed of this before, but now I'm okay with it, which is weird. Yeah. I kind of just, I think I'm more ashamed about the fact that I did, like, put it online and people did see it. And then I had to deal with that awkward thing of, like, that guy being like, yeah, I didn't get it. And I was like, I think I thought he was really cool as well, the person who said it. So I think that, I remember that being, like, really ashamed then. And I'm surprised I didn't take the whole thing down. Just from that reaction.
Well, you've left it for 13 years.
Yeah. But then someone, a friend of mine a couple of years ago, he was, for fun, he was looking up, we were, like, in a group chat on WhatsApp or something. He was looking at everyone's old MySpace accounts and he found this. And then I was like, oh no. And I felt really sick then because he was making fun of everyone. So he was like, oh, looking at the photos, putting photos up. And then he found that one. And I had like a proper MySpace account. This was just cartoon ladies. This was my professional MySpace account. And he was like WhatsApping, like saying stuff about it. And I was like, oh, this is, it was that I found really embarrassing. That was like proper deep shame. Because I think it was that thing where you go, oh, well, I have no control over how someone sees this. And because he was kind of making fun of everyone, it was just really like, oh, that was horrible. And I remember being in another country at the time. So I was like, I just wanted to get to the computer and like tear it down, like stuff like that. But I was just like, that's not even my real MySpace. Actually, you need to go to this one. Look at my other one. Don't look at this. Don't look at this. Because I think it was like trying to protect younger me.
So you felt like your younger self was being attacked?
Yeah. But then I also was like, my younger self was such a dick. Like protecting him at the same time, like pushing into, I don't know, like a cupboard and locking the door going, don't look at her. She's changed.
Well, I think like it's all right for you to attack them.
Yeah, 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 exactly. I can make fun of me. You can't make fun of me. It's like the same with relatives, isn't it? Like I can bitch about my relatives, but you can't bitch about my relatives or like partners or something. You'd be like, yeah, my boyfriend's a bit of an idiot sometimes. And if someone's like, yeah, he is. You're like, actually, no, he's perfect. Yeah. So I think it was that weird kind of thing. I was like, no, don't. She's very sensitive. 19-year-old Ellen.
Have you got one more drawing? Is that right?
Yeah. So I've got an EP cover I did for a friend who was like, can you draw something? My EP cover, you're like, you're really talented. I was like, I know, right? Yeah, sure. And I drew this and it's terrible. Like, it's not terrible, but it's something like a 14-year-old would draw for a GCSE art project or something like that. Or a 15-year-old. It'd be a very gifted 14-year-old. And it's basically Adventure is Dead EP. And it's a drawing of like a fairy, but she's kind of gothy looking. She's got stars on her. She's wearing a dress. And it's purple because I probably changed the color in paint or whatever I scanned it into. Whatever like free program there was on my computer, I scanned in, changed the color, and then I've drawn loads of squiggly lines around it. And I think I was just trying to emulate some cartoon I'd probably seen, but it's not very good.
Is she laying down?
I don't know.
Is she lunging?
I think she's lunging. Yeah, she's lunging. No fairies. She's doing a bit of a fairy exercise workout. Yeah, I think she's sort of like lunging. Oh, she's doing a stretch. She's doing a stretch before she flies away.
Because adventure is dead.
Because adventure is dead, exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was his EP. And just, oh dear. I think mostly I feel bad about this one because it was someone else's, a very nice guy. I'm not friends with him anymore. Not because of this, just like distance and stuff and time. And, I feel bad because they let me draw it and then they thought it was good. And then they sort of used it when they sold their EP in places. And I was like, oh no.
Oh, wow.
Not like professionally, but they did a lot of acoustic gigs in Cardiff. Sold at the end.
When you gave them that, can you remember their reaction?
They loved it. They did, genuinely.
Well, I don't think it's not like atrocious.
Yeah, but it's not good. It's not like...
I mean, it doesn't look professional.
No, there we go. That's right. It's not professional. And also, I think if you saw that, you wouldn't be like, oh, a girl did that who did an art foundation course. You'd be like, that was like a 13 or 14-year-old who did it. But it was a 19-year-old who, I don't know. But it's got loads of little squiggles on it and they probably took me ages. So I don't know if you can
see. Yeah, that's a lot of fine detail.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail in it. But I think it's also just drawing, like, it's really hard to draw people, like cartoon people. And I don't know why I chose to put her in a weird lunging position. And I probably put her at the side so I didn't have to draw both her hands, because hands are hard.
Did you think that it was good at the time?
Yeah, I was super proud of it. Not now.
And do you remember seeing people buy it?
No. Maybe they did, probably his friends. Probably his friends or his like mum or something like that. I think, you know what? I think one of the reasons why he let me do it is because we had a fling before. So I think maybe he was like, well, we've had a thing together. Not at the time. So maybe it was like a old fling thing. He was blinded by past lust for me. So that's way to get artistic gigs. Just sleep with a bunch of people in bands.
And then make them an album cover.
And then just make them an album, and just unsolicited. Just go up to them, "I've designed your album cover."
This was unsolicited?
No, it was. It was solicited. No, yeah, it was solicited. He did ask, and I did it. So, yeah, wouldn't do again.
Did you ever do any other album covers?
No, surprisingly, after that, no. Because I think the thing as well is, having been in a band and like all the artwork for the band, they're still together now, but the guy who does the artwork was in the band and he's so talented and his name's Rob. He's such an amazing drawer and illustrator and graphic designery person. And his artwork's amazing. It's like so, so good. So there's that weird thing where I think it's, again, doing the Art Foundation course, you kind of see what other people are producing and you're just like, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be good enough. I don't want to do abstract stuff. So I'm kind of not going to make it anywhere. So I think it's like that comparison thing when you see what other people are capable of and you just go, oh, it's just no, just don't.
So you've said that you don't draw anymore.
No.
So can you remember consciously deciding to stop?
I used to draw like... when I was on long journeys or if I was a bit bored, sometimes I'd draw. But now it just seems like that thing where you just have no time for it. Or it just feels like I could be doing something more useful. Because I feel like now I'm either doing something really productive or useful, or what I feel is productive or useful. Because, you know, if you do comedy stuff or anything like that, a lot of it is your own motivation. And until people ask you to do stuff, a lot of it is like you push yourself and like get as much stuff together as possible. So I feel like I'm either working quite hard or I'm just watching Netflix. So drawing is like, where does that fall? What is that, like a hobby? You know, who has those? Because like hobbies now is just like, I watch Netflix. My hobby is binge watching stuff and occasionally like reading a book. Like drawing just seems like such an indulgent, you know, who's it for?
It's interesting when you do something artistic and it's just for yourself, just sit there and draw something and never expect to give it to anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if people do that.
No. I think well-adjusted people probably do it because I bet it's really relaxing just to do something for the sake of doing it. But I think if you produce a lot of stuff artistically and there's always a purpose to it, it seems weird, like you said, to do something just for you. But then that's quite healthy as well because... then, yeah, doing stuff for the sake of it is something that I don't think people do a lot anymore, apart from sort of retired people who do like watercolors and things like that. And I bet their blood pressure is great and I bet they're really happy. So it probably would be a good thing to do, but I think I just feel so guilty.
What do you mean by guilty?
Well, like doing something for no reason at all. I always feel really guilty if I'm doing something and it's not helping me in any way, or it doesn't have a purpose. Like, it's like I go running a lot, but that feels like, well, that's got a purpose, that's got a reason. It's like, it's good for you, helps your brain, blah, blah, blah. It feels like you've achieved something. I think it's an achievement thing. It's like, I always feel like everything I do should be towards either like something career related or kind of helping me have some kind of career. And then anything else is just sort of like, I don't know, just being burnt out from doing that, if that makes sense. Mm. So this is getting very Marc Maron, isn't it? Yeah, so I think for me, like, drawing just went away with like just getting older and being like, oh no. Because yeah, like I said, it's like I was like, I'm gonna be an artist, that didn't work, oh, I guess I'm gonna do journalism. No, then I was in a band for 7 years and I left that, and now I'm trying to do like writing, filmmaking, comedy stuff. So it's just like so many different, all creative, but like so many like different things. And I haven't really had like a traditional like career trajectory. So I think because of that, it means I'm like constantly kind of like, oh shit, need to be doing stuff.
So a couple of like final questions,
yeah.
Which is, if you were able to talk to yourself back when you were drawing, so at 19,
yeah,
writing comics, what would you want to say?
Stop sleeping with so many dudes. I think I'd say like it's a, I think give myself a really big hug. That sounds really lame, but I was so insecure when I was 19, and I think I was like so unhappy. I felt really unattractive all the time. I just kind of felt like I couldn't generate any of my own sort of like self-worth. So I think I'd be like, it's gonna be okay, because you're gonna have a really super interesting life, and it's gonna be really, really weird, and you're gonna do lots of cool things, so don't worry about that. And also, like, just don't sleep with these guys, because most of them are idiots and you don't really like half of them. And just like wait until you meet someone really nice, and eat more like lettuce and vegetables and stuff, and be better with money, lots of things like that. But I think I just like, yeah, give myself a hug, because yeah, at 19 you just kind of, I don't know, you just feel a little bit like you have no idea what you're doing, and you should know what you're doing, but you don't. So I think I'd be like, that's okay, Ellen. And then I'd give her some tips on like lotteries and sports stuff to bet on, and then I like spookily walk backwards. We're like, goodbye. Yeah, like that.
19 is such an interesting age, because it's an age where you think that you're an adult and that you should have everything sorted.
Yeah.
That actually never happens, I don't think.
No, definitely not. I think I remember meeting someone, I was like, even when I was 22, meeting this woman who was like, it was like in a bar in America. And she was really lovely. She was just giving like life advice. She's like, you're not the same woman at 32 that you are at 22. Because I think I get like just going through a crisis. So I was like, oh, she doesn't know what I'm doing. Life's really weird. She's like, oh, don't worry, I'll be okay. And I think it's that thing, isn't it? Where kids are expected to be grown up so quickly. And it's like, you think you'll get to a certain age and you go, well, this is what I do now forever. And this is a structure of my life, without realizing that there's not a traditional path for anyone to go on. We just think there is. Mm. And you just don't have to stick to it. And you should just do whatever the fuck you want. As long as it's not like, I don't know, killing people and wearing their skin. Like, don't do that.
As long as it's not hurting anyone, yeah, do whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
My final question is, how do you feel about sharing that?
I feel good about it. Yeah, I feel really nice about it, actually. I actually was thinking, I'm really glad. It sort of reinforces doing comedy stuff now, because it's like, oh, okay, there was probably something back then which wanted to do it, but didn't know how or why or have like sort of the confidence or the means to do it. So I think it kind of almost goes like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. That like, and I think the stuff I do now does have a certain element of weirdness to it, not like massively weird. So I can see the kind of journey and stuff. But I think mostly, I know how good I thought it was, and I know now that it's not that good. So that's fine. That's fine. I think I've got a good sound reality check now. I think my ego, or like, not my ego, but I think like I'm more self-aware now of what is good and what is bad.
Thank you so much for joining me, Ellen.
It's all right.
If people would like to find out more about you and see your live shows, how can they do so?
So I'm on Twitter at Ellen Starbuck. I am doing a show at the Wardrobe Theatre in Bristol, doing an Edinburgh preview on July the 21st and 22nd, which should be good. And probably doing comedy here, there and everywhere around Bristol. Yeah.
And you're going to the Edinburgh Fringe?
Yes, I am.
Have you got your venue yet?
Yeah, it's Cellar Monkey, 7:30, which means I'm going to clash with everyone who's super famous.
And what's the show called?
It's Better to Lie Than to Tell the Truth and End Up Alone in a Ditch Crying. Just rolls off the tongue. It's so catchy. So glad I picked that title.
So thank you for joining me, Ellen. And thank you for listening. This has been I'd Sooner Forget This. I've been Daryl Smith. And if you enjoyed today's episode, then make sure that you go. I haven't asked Ellen yet, but we're all right to put the photos on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Good. That's going to happen. You'll be able to see Ellen's comics. And please do go onto iTunes and give the podcast a review. It helps other people like yourself who might enjoy the podcast to download it. And click that subscribe button if you haven't already. Right. Thank you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.